Good morning, good afternoon, or good night, depending when you're listening. It's episode 3. This ties into the Mohawk Valley kind of era as well. Not sure if this will make it between the 20 and 30 minutes that I've tried to make all the podcasts. So if it doesn't, I'll add another chunk into it from a different piece that I was going to do at a different date. But today will be about the flying of the first American flag. And if you Google it, you get a bunch of different results, right? So I think everybody, or most people that have been to school in some time in the past 20 years, remember the name Betsy Ross. And this is supposed to be the person who originally sewed the first American flag and then gave it to George Washington. And then George Washington carried it to his troops and they ended up using it. In the past couple years of like reading books relative to that time frame, there's a lot of other reports and a lot of other accounts that a flag was flown well before Betsy Ross's flag was flown. So we'll look at some of the inconsistencies a little bit, and then we'll also look at where it probably was flown first, and that would be in the Mohawk Valley. So learn about the flag. You gotta know when the flag was created, I guess, right? So on June 14, 1777, the Continental Congress passed the first Flag Act, which more or less said what the flag would be made of, not necessarily material-wise, but how it should look, what should be involved in it. I think there's kind of some arguments about if it said specifically what material needed to be used or not, but, you know, so just remember early June, Congress comes out and they introduce this act to have an American flag. So during the summer that year, this news is getting spread upon, you know, the Continental Army and the people in the new United States. And if you are to Google the first time the American flag was flown, it's going to tell you that sometime in September, it was flown at a skirmish at Cooch's Bridge in Delaware. And I think it was early September, maybe September 4th. And that was the flag that Betsy Ross had sewn for Washington and then passed forward. When I did the first episode, we talked about Fort Stanwix and the Battle of Oriskany, which took place in August. And it was actually the beginning of August, so it was about a month before the Cooch's Bridge skirmish, where like the History Channel and a couple other websites actually say was where the first American flag was flown. In researching this one, there's even different accounts from kind of like what I'm going to talk about, but they all kind of point to the same thing in that the Wilderness War is what was the campaign in like the August time frame and early September in New York that had to do with Fort Stanwix, the Battle of Oriskany, the Battle of Saratoga. So I think it's safe to say that from looking at different articles and different things where people talked about the flag, it was almost positively flown first in the Wilderness War. So it was definitely flown somewhere between Fort Stanwix and northern Saratoga. I'm gonna, you know, side with Fort Stanwix just because it's here in the Mohawk Valley, and I think it's a pretty cool story. So if it wasn't flown here, it may have very well been sewn for the first time here in this region. So around August 3rd, between August 3rd and August 6th, when we saw the Battle of Oriskany take place on like the August 6th time frame, a Massachusetts unit had actually made it to Fort Stanwix to deliver some supplies. And they had brought this document basically saying that there is a flag act established and that we now have a flag. And at that point, people from the fort started to sew the flag together so they could fly it over Fort Stanwix. And they, you know, they had red material, they had white material, and they needed some blue material. And this is where, you know, I think that I would side more with Fort Stanwix on everything, that they're the first to fly the flag, because there was a captain who was in charge of, I don't think he was the post commander, but So this guy's name was Captain Abraham Swartow, and he had a blue coat, and apparently there was not much blue material in the fort to use on the flag. He volunteered his blue, dress coat, and they used that material to, finish showing the flag. Further on in the war, he actually requested through the supply channel, right? So you have your supply people in the military. He requested a new blue coat on grounds that he used his for the first flag, and it was granted, and they gave him the new coat. So looking at something like that, I would kind of agree more with that than the Betsy Ross story, when that information was not released until the late 1800s. The whole Betsy Ross, even concept of her sewing the first American flag, was brought up in the late 1800s by her grandson, who at the time went to some historical society, brought that information forward, and basically went off of family testimonial that she was the one who, sewed the first flag. And not a knock to her at all, if she really did, that's awesome. I'm sure she had some kind of, dealings with the flag and with everything. But even the picture that was, painted of her sewing the flag wasn't painted until the late 1800s, and that person profited significantly from making that painting and going along with the story. So, looking back to the Fort Stanwix flag being sewn, you had probably a bunch of privates sew this flag together, and they say it was flown over Fort Stanwix on the day that, Herkimer was coming through at the Battle of Risky. I've read elsewhere that maybe later in the month, when the units that had came to back up Herkimer, probably General or Benedict Arnold's people, that they flew the flag for the first time somewhere north of Saratoga. I only read that in one book, and it was a book specifically about the Battle of Saratoga and what happened north of it. And the guy who wrote the book, he did a lot of research at Fort Stanwix itself. He talked to, the curator there, and he had some access to a couple other forts that aren't open to the public. So going off of what he said, he thinks that the Stanwix thing could have happened, but he's siding more on the, it definitely was flown between Fort Stanwix and north of Saratoga. So I'll definitely take that claim to fame for this area, and the first American flag was flown here. Definitely thought it would take a little bit longer to tell that story, but after looking at my notes, it's really not that long. So the second thing that I'll talk about was the first female that fought in the American Revolution, and she was known as Corporal Gay. Now, Corporal Gay didn't tell anyone she was a female. She cut her hair, and how she presented herself, she made it seem like she was a male because she wanted to fight for independence, and as a female she was not able to do so at the time. So we talked about the white lie that Steuben did in the last episode, and how it was really beneficial. And in the same way, Corporal Gay's lie, although very minor, it was significant. At that time males fought and females didn't, and she was one of the first females to pull it off. Also, good luck finding anything on Corporal Gay through Google. When you type in Corporal Gay and military or Corporal Gay and the American Revolution, it takes you down a completely different rabbit hole than what I'm going to talk about. So I'll give you the reference of where I found the information from if you want to read more about this soldier. But if you just Google Corporal Gay American Revolution, it actually talks about how Steuben, people thought he was gay, or how, the don't ask, don't tell back in the day, and just a bunch of stuff. So in February of 1777, a female by the name of either Anne or Nancy Bailey, knowing that if she tried to join the Continental Army, that she would be denied, because females, like I said before, weren't fighting at the time. She joined the military as Samuel Gay, and she joined a unit in Massachusetts. She was a private at the time when she came in, right? And then she ends up fighting at the Battle of Fort Ticonderoga. At Fort Ticonderoga, her company commander, you know, kind of saw how he, they thought it was a he at the time, had conducted himself and how he, you know, was very brave and did great things during the battle. Following the battle, promoted Private Gay to Corporal Gay. So, you know, Anne or Nancy Bailey is now Corporal Gay in the Continental Army. Nobody knows she's a female, and she's already showed that she's battle tested. Somehow at Saratoga, Corporal Gay's identity had came about, and it was found out that he was actually she, and it, you know, her name was not actually Samuel Gay. When this was brought about, obviously there was talks of discharge and stuff like that, and it was brought directly to General Gates, who at the time was the senior commander of whatever unit that she fell under, or he was in charge of, you know, the unit that she subsequently fell under. So she appealed directly to him. It was like, look, you know, I was promoted to corporal. You know, I fought loyally and violently, and I'm here, you know. And Gates nonetheless decided to continue to discharge her. She wanted to retain her rank, she wanted to stay in, and Gates did offer her a position at a field hospital in Albany in which she could retain her rank and be a corporal. I don't think she was too thrilled about this, and I think she ultimately declined that. But thousands of soldiers in the Continental Army wrote letters to Gates on her behalf, and General Arnold at the time, before we considered him a traitor, you know, he even pled with Gates to keep her in on a couple grounds. One, they needed bodies, and she was an able body and able leader. And two, it kind of rallied the troops. I mean, they were all kind of siding on her behalf, and I don't think they really cared that there was a female fighting with them. I mean, obviously she was capable of doing the job, and the thousands of troops that wanted her to stay clearly didn't care if a female was fighting with them. The only place I was really able to find reference to Corporal Gay's story was in a book with Musket and Tomahawk by Michael O. Logas. Other than that, I haven't really been able to see anything about her, which is kind of unfortunate, right? I mean, that's another significant thing that happened in like the Mohawk Valley wilderness region. And I think that's kind of a cool thing that happened, so that's why we talked about it today. And the same thing with the flag. The first time the flag was flying, like, you're not seeing this stuff in literature or even stuff around here that probably should be talked about, other than if you go to Fort Stanwix, you could see the story about the flag being flown there. But you know, so that's kind of why I even started this podcast. And those two stories were only like 6 minutes apiece. I didn't really plan to do anything else today with this one, so this will probably be one of the shorter ones I do. I think there'll be like maybe 3 or 4 more episodes tops about the American Revolution stuff that happened around here, and then we'll flow into the later conflicts, you know. Somebody requested to hear some things about the War of 1812, which in the North Country, you know, if you're not from the Mohawk Valley, North Country is like the Adirondack Park up that way. A lot of stuff happened during the War of 1812 up there. Even during the Wilderness War, you know, in the Battle of Saratoga and stuff, there's a lot of stuff that panned out up there. So I think next episode we'll look at that a little bit. But I want to get to even more modern stuff, like up into the current conflicts that in our lifetime we've seen as well. So thanks for listening. I'm available on pretty sure every podcast app right now. I'm on Google, Apple. Spotify is the easiest one because the software I use directly uploads to Spotify instantly. So if you don't have a Spotify account, you can make one for free, or if you want to just wait the lag time, it shouldn't be that long every day that when I post these, it shows up on Google or Apple. If you use any of those little ones, I use CastBox when I listen to podcasts, I'm on there. And then, you know, the each is in between. If you can, I'd appreciate it. Just you know, follow me on whatever platform you use. And if you want to hear something, or if you want me to look into a topic and go over it or talk more about it, hit me up on Facebook. I have a page for this one. You can just comment on one of the posts, or just shoot me a text or an email, or something like that. And once again, thanks for listening, and it's episode 3.